Hello everyone, I am Emilia Söderholm from the Mundus Journalism 2022-2023 cohort. You're listening to Rethink Impact, the podcast, the audio series of the 9th European Communication Conference. And this year, the conference is jointly hosted by the ECREA, or the European Communication Research and Education Association, Aarhus University, and the Danish School of Media and Journalism. And on today's episode, I have invited Michaela Lebedjikova, a PhD student of Media and Journalism Studies at the Faculty of Social Studies at Masaryk University in Czech Republic. I hope I pronounced that okay.
Yeah, hi. It is so nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for joining the van. So first of all, you're a PhD student and there is a lot of PhD students joining this conference. How is it to be a PhD student at a conference like this?
It's overwhelming. There is a lot of happening. Like before I came, I made a plan out of every session and everything I could attend, but it's impossible. Like there is so much going on. Everyone is talking about their research, and also there's a party every evening. And I got so little sleep. It's been overwhelming, but it's also amazing. I got to meet all the academic stars, people that I've read like their papers and everything, and I could speak to them. That was amazing. So it is a great experience. I would encourage everyone to like attend such a big conference just to meet everyone and gain feedback on their research and stuff.
Yeah, because these other researchers that are more senior than you, do you see them almost as celebrities?
Yeah, I would say so. Like there are definitely people, maybe it's because of Twitter. Like, you know, there are people who, you know, have such a like big brains and like very like a lot of papers, a lot of impact, and you read them and you admire them. But also you see like nowadays a lot of researchers are on Twitter, like curating your social media because you're trying to make people like see your research and what you do. So it's definitely like seeing them as celebrities, but then it's really nice if you meet them and you get to know them and they're like down to earth and giving you advice. For example, the other day I met Sonia Livingstone because my supervisor is doing research with her, but he's not here. So when I met her, like I told her who is my supervisor and everything, and she was so nice. And when I asked, like, for example, that I would also like to inform policymakers and stuff, she advised me on like who to contact, or that there's like a committee at the European level and they have people in each of the countries. And it was a really nice chat and really helpful.
Yeah, I can imagine this is a great way also of networking for future projects and getting ideas and... Yeah.
It's a real inspiring.
So you have been presenting at this conference. Can you tell me a bit about that? And also, is it your first time presenting?
Okay, so it was not my first time presenting because I've been working on my research since my bachelor's. Like, I know that it's not super common, but I was really into research. So already on my master's, I presented my bachelor research on some conferences, for example, in Finland. But it was a smaller scale conference. It was just one topic, and there were just like, I think, three panels happening at once. And now we have like, I think, 15 parallel sessions here, and there are four sessions each day, and it's a 4-day long conference. So that is crazy. So of course I was worried. But on the other hand, yeah, there's so many people, and it's been really nice to present just in class, because sometimes at other conferences or when I'm doing a lecture, I actually have to speak in front of like 100 people. So now when it was in just a small class and there was 30 people, the pressure was not that much. So
And would you like me could you please tell me about your topic and what you presented?
So I study adolescent exposure to sexual media and sexting and its links to their well-being. And now we have a project where we developed this research app that we installed in adolescent smartphones. And the thing is that the app called... Sorry.
That's no worries. That happens. Yeah, this is the last day. Don't worry.
So the app actually sends them questionnaires 4 times a day. That's called like a ecological momentary assessment methodology. But also the really cool thing is that it samples objective data from their smartphones. So for each second, we know in which app they were. Mm. And I was really interested because I've seen a lot of research and adolescent experiences, like from qualitative studies, which means that people were talking to adolescents and asking them what is happening. So they've been reporting a lot of nudity and sexual stuff on social media. And we know that a lot of companies like Meta are trying to battle nudity. So naturally, I was wondering, like, could adolescents be also seeing that? And yeah, it's not like they're not successful in moderating the nudity. So I was looking in whether adolescents using social networking apps, which means like Instagram, Facebook, the thing you can scroll, versus instant messaging apps, meaning like Messenger, WhatsApp, if that is connected to exposure to sexually explicit media.
Mm. And have you found or have you gotten any results yet? Or
yeah. So we haven't found any connection. And not only on the between person level, which means that when you look at individual differences of people, whether there are any associations, but only also we have found no results on the within person level. That means that everyone uses these apps in a different pattern. So we were looking that if their average pattern changes, whether this also may be connected to sexually explicit media. Mm. Like that means that someone watches, I don't know, social media for like 3 hours a day and then suddenly they watch it for eight hours a day. Mm. So if that means something, but we didn't find any results. We only found that boys who use instant messaging apps tend to see more sexually explicit media compared to girls, maybe because boys like to share more sexual stuff between each other.
Mm.
But the explanation might be that we only assessed using social networking apps and instant messaging apps on their smartphones. So, you know, social media are also on computers and you can access them from different devices. So maybe that's that. Or maybe these experiences are so rare that we couldn't detect them on the quantitative level, because sometimes statistics, they work as a kind of averaging of everything. So when something is happening only rarely, you may not have detected it.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. And is this something you were saying that you have been researching the same thing since your bachelor's? Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, a bit. Like on my bachelor's, I was really interested in porn studies research. Mm. So I was researching the content of the top 5 most viewed videos on Pornhub in Czechia.
Yeah.
And then on my master's, I was interviewing women, how they watch porn, what do they take out of it. And then I started, because I was doing I was working part-time as a graphic designer, but I wanted to like fully transfer to also have my job in the research and also studying.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied for a junior level researcher at a team at our faculty. So I got there. I met my soon-to-be supervisor and he offered me to work on his research. So yeah, naturally I switched from sociology to media studies.
Mm.
I'm now working on adolescents rather than young adults.
Yeah, wow. And why did you choose this topic? Why this topic?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting because porn and sexuality is such a taboo, but it's so pervasive. So I thought it is really needed to study. And like, if we don't talk about it, we cannot really assess what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And I also hate the media discourse about porn being so bad, because we know from research that, of course, there are bad side effects, but also there are many positive effects, like getting to know your sexuality, learning about who you are. So I wanted to also, you know, think of these questions and investigate well-being as a whole concept of good and bad.
Mm.
Yeah, and not only the risk.
That's really interesting. And something that I guess should be even more researched for more people, yeah.
I hope.
Yes. And so the theme of the conference, as we all know by now, is rethinking impact. What's your relationship to impact and research?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that even this, that we're doing this podcast, is super important, because most of the time I feel like researchers are doing their research and communicating between each other. I mean, we have our own ways, like doing conferences, publishing research, etc. But we kind of research society. We need to get it out there, you know, and either contact policymakers or just be in media and tell people that, okay, we found this. And yeah, it is important to let people know what we do and why we do it, and that we actually can, you know, translate the insight to something practical. I mean, for example, I've been always trying to get my research out there. So, for example, I've been working with some nonprofits. For example, they've been like doing small scale presentations for high school students about pornography and stuff. So I was like advising them on that. And there's another nonprofit in Czechia where they were developing like curriculum, because in Czechia, every school does their sex education differently. And while someone only mentioned it in biology, someone talks also about gender and LGBTQ+. So they were trying to come up with something comprehensive. So I was also advising them about pornography, like mentioning also like the harmful side and the potential harm, but also promoting sexuality and what can actually help adolescents.
Yeah. And maybe this is like dreaming too much, but what would you want your research to change, or maybe not even change, but to affect?
Like as I said, there's so much taboo around adolescent sexuality, but I would like to people realize that it's healthy, and healthy sexuality is actually part of well-being. And being happy also means to be happy on the side of like romantic relationships and sexual satisfaction. So maybe instead of not talking about such topics, I would like to encourage a discussion about the bad effects, but also the good ones, and how can we promote it? Because we can all try to pretend that adolescents do not see porn or they do not sext, but they're doing it. So I'd rather advise them on how to do it safely and how to realize that pornography is like an edited fantasy and not the real sex, instead of pretending they just don't do it. Because in my opinion, that could be more harmful if we, yeah, don't educate them on that.
And also during this conference, I have been thinking a lot about research that does not have an impact and that just stays in the research community or in the academic community. Do you ever feel like it's pointless, the things you do?
No, I don't think so. I think that everything has its own meaning. And while some things are not so easily translated into the general public, they're important for other research. So even when it's really abstract and complex, other researchers can use it for something. So I wouldn't say that there isn't any meaning in some kind of research. I feel like there's always a meaning.
That's nice. That must be really nice to have that belief so that you can move on with
Maybe
that.
I'm too naive. Maybe I'm too young.
I don't think so. It sounds like it's a sane way of looking at it, because, I mean, I couldn't imagine doing what you do and have the feeling like I'm doing this for no one. I mean, that must be awful. Yeah, so if you can find a meaning, then that's great.
Yeah, it really helped me as a PhD student to actually like learn these things, because sometimes you deal with a lot of criticism and a lot of rejection, and it's often hard to actually accept criticism. So it helped me to kind of rethink that and think of it as people advising me rather than me being wrong all the time or something. So just to see this as part of growing up and, you know, doing something, learning something, it takes a lot of the pressure away.
Yes. And what are your main takeaways from this conference, you think?
Yeah, the researchers are really nice people, and it is really nice to connect and talk to each other, Because, and I think that this is really like the goal of the conference, just to talk to each other, connect, and, you know, find maybe common ground, but also to get inspired. Like the other day, I saw Dr. Herminder Kaur. She was researching disabled people and what they do on social media, and actually, like, if it helps them to be more included than in the quote-unquote real life. And she found out that no, they're facing exclusion also in social media, and that made me like think, okay, like what are the populations that we actually do not often include in research? So even those small, like they're not small things, but yeah, it lets you think, you know, just to get away from your daily life and your daily research and just hear another perspective. I think that's really helpful for everyone.
Mm. Have you also gotten ideas or inspiration to future research?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually arrived on Tuesday, I think it was. Monday.
Mm.
Because on Tuesday we had the EU Kids Online meeting, which is a big research of European adolescents. And we were presenting to each other like the papers we did and future. And I was really inspired by people, like what they can do with the data, because my previous work was mostly qualitative. And now I'm learning statistics as during my PhD. And then, seeing what you can actually do with data and how you can uncover a lot of things in that is really inspiring. So, yeah, a lot of ideas.
Mm-hmm. And how far in your PhD are you?
I'm starting my third year, which means I'm just after the half of it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. So, yeah. And I'm really happy to hear that you're, it seems like you're doing something that you're really passionate about, mm-hmm. and that you also have already found ways to make it impactful.
Trying,
but yeah. So I think that that's all of my questions. Yes. Also, but have you ever been to Aarhus before?
No. It's my first time in Denmark, I've been really enjoying Aarhus.
Yeah. Have you been joining some of the social tours and stuff? You said that you have gone to some parties and...
Yeah. I've been trying to attend everything, but yeah, you can see it on my face. I'm already too tired.
Yeah, let's end on that note then. Mm-hmm. But before we're ending, do you have any social media or other platforms mm-hmm. where you could connect with someone that might be listening and who are more interested in you?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to curate my Twitter and share a lot of the academic stuff that I'm doing on Twitter. So it's at M. Lebedikova. So yeah.
Yeah.
Would be nice to connect on Twitter.
Yeah, definitely. So if you don't have anything else to add, thank you so much, Michaela Lebedikova.
great
for joining us at the podcast van have a nice trip back home.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been delightful.